is beginning to rain, rain, rain in the voice of our Father. Saying, whosoever will come drink of this water, I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas.
Hello, friends. This is Jerry Barrett, the pastor's assistant here at Bible Home Church. Please remember that Bible Home Church operates solely through your love gifts, tithes, and offerings. You can mail a check or money order to Bible Home Church, 5200 Evidence Cove, Spicewood, Texas, 78669, or you can donate through PayPal on our website. Don't forget to send in your prayer requests as well. We will be happy to add you to our prayer list, and we greatly appreciate your prayers for us. This week, we continue the series, Laodicean Nation. We pray that you will receive a blessing from Pastor Mars's message. Up next is Allison Krauss with I'd Rather Have Jesus, after which we will begin Pastor Mars's sermon.
By his name, stone. Jesus says in verse 19, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Have you ever been rebuked and chastened by God? You say, well, no, God's never rebuked and chastened me. Well, that's because he doesn't love you. That's because he doesn't care for you. He's neglecting you. You don't love him, he doesn't love you back. You're neither hot nor cold. What? He's going to spew you out of his mouth. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. If you've been chastened by God, I've been chastened many times. I sit around and say, boy, I sure brought that on myself. Man, if I had just paid attention to the word of God, I wouldn't have got in trouble there. This wouldn't have happened to me. That wouldn't have happened to me. God is chastening me. This is for my good. He's rebuking me. If I listen very closely, I can understand what God is saying. And I go to God on my knees. I say, I'm sorry, Lord. Boy, I messed up and I'm really sorry. I repent of that. Help me. Forgive me. But if you don't ask God for forgiveness, repentance, why should he consider you? He's got other sons and daughters. They'll obey him. Number 20, verse 20 says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. This is the promise of God. He stands at the door and he knocks. If you hear his voice, he'll open the door. He will come in and sup with you. You'll be God's friend. Verse 21 says, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with thy Father in his throne. You want to be an overcomer, friends? You're not going to be an overcomer because you've got the newest Apple telephone, or you got the newest video game, or you got the newest clothes, or the newest rap album. That's not going to make you an overcomer. You're a loser. There used to be a poster back about 20 years ago, came out, it was very popular, sold millions of copies. Showed a huge mansion. It was like an aerial photo of this huge mansion. And there was a huge driveway. It was a big estate. And there was a Rolls Royce parked in the driveway. And the poster said, he that has the most toys when he dies wins. He that has the most toys when he dies wins. And I thought of that. That's what the world believes. If you've got a Mercedes, you've got a fat cat job, you got millions of dollars in the bank. If you got a big estate and material goods and a lovely man or woman and servants and all those things, you know, you're like a Warren Buffett or a Bill Gates or a Michael Dell or one of these rich billionaires, then you've got the most toys. Maybe you got the most yachts, the most big cars, the most. You're increased. You're rich. You're increased with goods. You don't have need of anything, do you? You have the most toys. But what does God say way back here in verse 17? You don't know that you're wretched. You don't know that you're miserable. You're poor, you're blind, you're naked. That's what he sees. You're not invited to his feast up in heaven. He's going to have a huge banquet in heaven. And you're not invited, friends. And if you're going to go in uninvited, you say, well, I've had all these things. Surely he'll invite me. And you show up at the banquet. He's going to go to you and say, excuse me, sir. But what are you doing here at my banquet? You don't have the clothes. You don't have the raiment to wear to be here. Who invited you? He's going to call for his servants and say, these people came here without invitation. Throw them out. Cast them out of the kingdom. Well, I got billions. I own a company. You can't do that to me. What is money to God? What are goods to him? Nothing. Don't think that you can talk your way out of it or show your way out of it or get what you want because you're rich with goods. God makes things. He creates things. He manufactures out of thin air anything he wants. He owns a whole galaxy. What does he need your crummy little stuff for? To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. Now there's an invitation. Come and sit with me in my throne. I like that. Now, I'm not going to ask for that. If God invites me to his throne, that's great. I'll go there. But I'm going to stay down below. I'm going to get on my knees. I'm going to prostrate myself before him. And then if he invites me, that's great. But I'm not going to invite myself. Now, that's the Laodicean church. Neither hot nor cold. But they have massive mega churches everywhere, growing in numbers. But not holiness, not spirituality. Now, what does God do with the rich? They've got riches. They've got their own reward, don't they? There they are. You've got your reward. And James, read James, it's great. James chapter 1 and chapter 2. God hath chosen the poor of this world rich in faith. You want to be rich? Then have faith in God. Have faith in God. You'll be Abraham's seed and heirs of the promises of God. Galatians 3, verse 29. And God chooses these. You're God's chosen. You hear about the chosen. It's not the Jews. It's the people who are rich in faith. Rich in faith. Who do you have? You got to have faith. You got to have an object for your faith. You can't just have faith in your faith. That's what the prosperity preachers say. Have faith in your faith. What does that mean? No, you got to have faith in God. You got to have an object for your faith. Are you chosen? Are you chosen? Listen to me, friends. Well, no, only the Jews are chosen. Okay, you're not chosen. You're going to hell. Get over there with the goats. Go over there with the serpents. You're not hot or cold. I don't have time for you. I'm sorry, I don't. I'm going to preach some to you, but I can't take all my time with you. You either accept it or you don't. There's a time in heaven when there's silence. There's silence for a time in heaven. There's no preaching going on. There's no evangelism going on. Maybe that's the world we're moving into, an age without any evangelism, without any proselytizing. I mean, they're making it against the law to proselytize, to tell people. I mean, you're a Christian predator, the Pentagon says now, if you tell people in uniform about Jesus. They cannot allow that. That's politically incorrect. They don't allow that anymore. The street preachers are all getting put in jail. They're going out on the corners and telling people about Jesus. That's not right. That's politically incorrect. Where do you see the rich preaching to the world? Can you show that to me, friends?
Well, now, Billy Graham.
Ah, yes.
He was loved by the world. All the world loved him. Yeah.
What does that tell you? The world does love its own. If the world loved Tex Mars, I'd really be worried. In fact, sometimes I do worry. I've got it made too much. Maybe I need the police to come down and take some of my goods. Maybe if I walked everywhere, I'd be in better shape. Maybe I'd be in good condition. You know, I've got a couple of suits. In fact, I've got two, three. Well, one of them doesn't fit me. It's a little too small. I've got about two suits that I wear back and forth all the time, one or the other. What if they were taken away from me? Hey, that'd be okay with me. I don't like to wear a tie anyway. I'll just wear a t-shirt. In fact, that's what people find out about me when they come to visit me here. In fact, while I'm talking to you right now, I have on a t-shirt and a pair of Dockers. This is an expensive t-shirt, though. I think it costs $3.98 or something like that at Walmart. My wife says, why don't you buy clothes that are better? I don't have time for that. I'm busy. She says, you've only got two pair of shoes, and both of them are the same type. You bought them at Sass Shoes. Yeah, I didn't know anything about Sass Shoes, but I went there, and they're really comfortable. That's what I bought. A pair of Sass Shoes doesn't look as good, you know, if you're wearing a sport coat or a suit. But I like it. They're comfortable. Now, God hath chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith. The poor! Why didn't he choose the rich? I once asked God that. What can I do for you, Lord? I'm pretty worthless. Why didn't you choose somebody that rich, had a big denomination, a church? I just can't do this. And I'm put up on all these enemies out there battering me day by day. Well, God basically said, shut up. I chose you because I knew you'd do it. It's okay. He knew I would do it. Now, if you're poor, bless God. Thank God. Thank you for making me poor. Thank you for giving me the minimum, the shelter, the home, the love that I need. And people do need love. They need to be loved. Now, if you're hated by the world, you know why the world hates you. Because it hated Jesus before you. Are you any better than him? No, no, you're not. We know who has the money of this world, friends. Satan offered Christ the kingdoms of this world, and they were his to give. And Christ said, you're not supposed to tempt the Lord thy God. Get away from me. Simon the magician, in the Bible we read, he offered the apostles money for the Holy Spirit. That's how they knew he was evil, when he offered them money for the Holy Spirit. Read what happened to Simon. Read what they said about him. The silversmiths at Ephesus who worshiped Diana were angered because people began to believe in Jesus. And when they did, they got rid of the idols. They didn't want the silver idols of the silversmiths. They got angry. In the book of Revelation, there is a Laodicean church. And boy, it's got America's name written all over it, doesn't it? Now look, listen, somebody sent me these things. Thank them. It's called Only in Liberal America. Now, what does liberal mean? It means you're apart from God. Some people call this, and they shouldn't, libtards. Libtards. Well, we just call it liberals or progressives. Anything but conservatives. These are people who are not nationalists. They're not patriots. They're not moral. They're not, you know, all these things, the family. They're just a bunch of liberal cruds. But think about this. Only in liberal American could politicians talk about the greed of the rich at a $35,000 a plate campaign fundraising event. Isn't that true? Only in liberal America could people claim that the government discriminates against black Americans. At the same time, we have a black president, a black attorney general, and a good part of the federal workforce is black. 40% of all federal entitlements, that's money, goes to black Americans. Three times the amounts that go to the whites. Five times the rate that goes to Hispanics. But we're prejudiced. How can you be prejudiced with that? Only in a liberal America could the two people most responsible for our tax code, Timothy Geithner, the head of the Treasury Department, and Charles Rangel, who once ran the Ways and Means Committee of the House, both turn out to be tax cheats. And yet they're both in favor of higher taxes. Well, only in America. Only in liberal America can we have terrorists kill people in the name of Allah and then have the media act against that by saying, poor Muslims, don't hurt the Muslims. They're worried that the Muslims may be harmed by the backlash. Wow. Only in America. Now look at America. In the United States today, more than half of all couples shack up, they move in together before they get married. Only in America is the highest divorce rate in the world by a large margin. America has the highest percentage of one-person households on the entire planet. Think about this. Women under the age of 30 in the United States, more than half of all babies are born out of wedlock. There are no daddies. No daddies. More than half of them. America has the highest teen pregnancy rate in the world. We're the most Christian of nations. Is that right? Come on. We have the highest teen pregnancy rate in the entire world. One out of every four teen girls in the United States has at least one sexually transmitted disease. Gonorrhea or chlamydia or syphilis or something. One out of every four girls has a disease.
How
about this one? There are 747,408 registered sex offenders in the U.S. Think of, right next door to you, there's probably 20. You probably drive to work every day and run in, and you go by the whole house of 30 or 40 or 50 or 60 sex offenders on the registry. America produces more pornography than any nation in the world, but we're considered a Christian nation. If you say, I love the Constitution, they're going to start watching you. That person is dangerous. They could do damage to this nation. They're constitutionalists. Watch out for them. Only in America.
If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.